Today's daf is Bava Metzia daf Ches, one of the more difficult dafim in the early going of Bava Metzia. So let's get started. We left off in daf Zayin and Beis about 15-20 lines before the end of the page. We're at Amar Rabbi El Azar, which is first one of the line is Ksubos Lochayish. That's how the line begins. We're at the next words, Amar Rabbi Lazar. So Amar Rabbi Lazar, Machlokes b'shashnei madukim b'tofes u'shnei b'toref. Now when we say Machlokes, over here it doesn't mean Machlokes. Rashi points out Machlokes doesn't mean a disagreement. It means we're referring back to a halacha that Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel said earlier, that if two guys are both holding on to a shtar, that yachloku, that they split the shtar. So Machlokes meaning the halacha that Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel says, that you split the shtar, which seems like they divide it evenly. They divide the shtar right down the middle. So that's only b'shashneim adukim b'tofes u'shneim b'toref. That's only if either both guys are holding on to the tofes of the shtar, or both guys are holding on to the toref of the shtar. Now, what's the tofes? What's the toref? So look at Rashi. U'shneim adukim b'toref. Kolomar u'shneim adukim b'toref. B'toref gilui shel shtar. Makom alove v'amalve v'hamaos v'azman. The Torah contains all the critical information of the shtar. The name of the lova, the name of the malva, the amount of money, and the date of the shtar. Tofes shar kol lashon shtar. And the tofes is the legalese of the shtar, the rest of the lashon of the shtar. But the basic heading, the basic information, is all contained in the Torah. Now it happens to be that basic information is then again all repeated in the tofes, with the exception of the Zman, but nevertheless, that's the difference between the Toref and the Tofes. So again, Tofes is the legalese, the Toref is the basic element of the Shtar. So the idea that they split the Shtar down the middle is either if they're both holding on to the Tofes, or they're both holding on to the Toref. Aval, Echad Aduk B'Tofes, V'Echad Aduk B'Toref, Zenot El Tofes, V'Zenot El Toref. But if one guy is holding on to the Tofes, one guy is holding on to the Toref, so each one gets the part of the shtar that they're holding on to. Right? Rashi says, Zono tol demai de tafis didehu. What he's holding on to becomes his. Kedektani lel. Zono tol ad mokum shiadu magas. Just like we had previously in the Brisa regarding the talis, that if you have two people that are adukin betalis, each one gets up until where his hand is holding on the talis, and the area in between that neither of them are holding on to, you split down the middle. But over here as well, if each one is holding on to a part of the shtar, one is holding the toref, one is holding the tofes. So Reuven will get the Torah and Shimon will get the Tofes. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, and Rabbi Yochanan will say no. Rabbi Yochanan, in disagreement with Rabbi Lazar, says, Li Olam Chalkin, don't limit Rabbi Shimon Gamliel's idea of Chaluka only to cases where they're both holding on to the same part of the Shtar. Li Olam Chalkin, Vafilu Echad Aduk B'Tofes, they'll always be chalik, even if one of them is holding on to the tofes and the other one is holding on to the toref, you still are always going to split the shtar down the middle. So Frek the Gemara, wait a second. What's Rabbi Yochanan going to do with the halacha that we said in the Braisa that each person takes what he's holding on to? How can you say liolam cholkin, you're always going to split it 50-50, and ignore what each person is holding on to, and say, I don't care that one guy's holding on to the Torah and one guy's holding on to the Tofes. The Braisa says you're supposed to get what you're holding on to. So it says in Gemara, lo tricha, dekai Torah be mitzi. Now, we misunderstood Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan, when he says liolam cholkin, that you always divide it, he doesn't really mean that. He doesn't mean that you always divide it regardless. He means that even if the Toref is in the middle and each one is holding on to an edge, neither is holding on to the Toref, you're then still going to divide it, which really would mean that he's not really arguing under Blazer. It's just two different ways of basically saying the same thing. So says the Gemara, Ihachi Maila Meimra, but then what's the whole Chiddush? Meaning, what's he adding? Of course, if neither of them are holding on to the Torah, what other option do you have other than to divide it down the middle? So says the Gemara, no, Lo Tzricha Demikra Legabi Dechad. His Chiddush is that even though neither of them are holding on to the Torah of the Shtar, nevertheless, the Torah of the Shtar is closer to the edge that one of them are holding. So neither of them are holding on to the Torah, but the Torah is closer to the edge that one of them is holding. Now, as we said, the Torah is the is clearly going to be on one side of the Shtar. So if you're holding on to that end of the Shtar, you're holding on to the blank space on that end of the shtar. And the other guy must be holding onto the blank space on top of the tofes, right? So he's also holding onto the blank space of the shtar. So you might say, well, the toref is closer to me, so I should get the toref. So, and therefore split it that way. So we say, ma'u detema amalei plokachi, that the guy can say, split it down the middle, where you take the tofes and I'll take the toref. Kamashmalan, therefore he comes to teach me, or Yochanan comes to teach me, Damarlay, my chazit to plak tahachi, plak achi. Who said you should split it down the middle that way? Maybe we should, instead of splitting it top from bottom, we should split it down the middle to split the right side from the left side of the shtar. And then we'll each take half the other way, so we each get a bit of the Torah and a bit of the Tofes. So Amalei Rav Acha Midifti the Ravina, the Rav Lazar, according to Rav Lazar, and really, now that we said Rabbi Yochanan holds the same thing as Rav Lazar, according to everybody, but Rav Lazar is one that said it beferish, that Damar Zenot al Tofes Vezenot al Toref, who said that if one guy is holding the Tofes and one guy is holding the Toref, that each guy gets Ad Makom Sheyado Maga'as, each guy gets what he's holding on to, that the whole idea of Yachloku is only if they're both holding on to the same thing, or they're both holding on to the edges in the case of Rabbi Yochanan, but if one guy is holding the Torah, if one guy is holding the Tofes, each one gets what he's holding on to. Lamalei, I don't understand what utility there is in dividing it that way. Meaning the borrower owes money, right? So what if the borrower gets his shtar back? So then the lender is not going to be able to have anything on him. He'll never be able to collect his money because the borrower got the shtar back. Wonderful, that's great for the borrower. But if you're going to divide the Torah from the Tofes, either way, the lender still has a document that says that the borrower owes him X amount of money. So what value is there in giving the borrower a chelik of the shtar if either way the lender still going to be able to collect money from the borrower because he has a chelik of the shtar that says that the borrower owes him money? Does he need it to cover it to use as a bottle cap? That's what he needs, this half a piece of paper? What kind of division is that? That doesn't make any sense. So says the Gemara, Amalei Ladami. No, we don't actually split the shtar in half. We evaluate the value of the shtar. How much is a toref worth more than a tofes? Meaning, if the lender had the toref, it would be more valuable to him than having the tofes. Why is it more valuable to him to have the toref than the tofes? So we'll get to that in a second. But keep in mind, the toref has all of the critical information. It has the name of the lover, the name of the malva, the money, the amount of money, and the zman. The tofes has all the legalese and most of the critical information. So there is some value that the toref has over the tofes. So da amar hachi, shtar de ispe zman, Kamashavi, the less based man Kamashavi, meaning what's the value that the Torah has over the Tofes? Well, what information does the Torah have that the Tofes doesn't? The only critical information the Torah has that the Tofes doesn't is the Zman, right? Is the date. So we have to take a look. How much more valuable is it for a lender to have a shtar that has a Zman than for a lender to have a shtar that doesn't have a Zman? Take a look at the difference in value. Bishtar dispeis man gabi mimshavdi, v'idach lo gabi mimshavdi. If you have a zman in your shtar, you can collect from nechasim mishubadim. That's valuable. You can collect from properties that, since that zman, the borrower has sold to other people. So if you can't get money from the borrower, you can go to those other people who have, since that time, bought from the borrower and take away their fields, confiscate the possessions that they have, the fields that they have purchased from the borrower. So that's a valuable thing to be able to do. If you don't have a zman, you'll never be able to collect from a shubadim. Why? Because the people who have purchased from the borrower will say, what are you talking about? We purchased this before you ever made a deal, before you ever lent money to him, and prove otherwise. And if you don't have a zman, you'll never be able to prove otherwise. So granted, whether you have a zman or you don't have a zman, you'll always be able to collect from the borrower, but you won't always be able to collect from nechasim mishubadim in the event that the borrower does not have money. So that's why it's more valuable for the lender to have the tofes than it is for the lender to have for the lender to have the toref than it is for the lender to have the tofes, because it's important for him to have the zman. So yav lehech de beni beni. So we reimburse the, we give him that value. If he's holding on to the toref, so he gets that, because he's holding on to the toref, and we say he gets an makom sheyado magas. Aye, of what value is there for the other guy to get any part of his shtar if he's still going to be able to be collected from? Yeah, but that's exactly the point. The point is that we would give him that extra value, and then we'll divide the actual value of the shtar, the actual money of the shtar, in terms of how much money there's actually is actually written in the shtar, that will divide down the middle. But the extra value that's gotten in terms of being able to collect from Nechasu Meshubadim, that whoever is holding on to the Toref gets that. So of what value is there for the borrower to have the Toref if either way the lender is going to be able to collect money from him? There's certainly value in there, because then he'll be able to have that value of that extra value of not of what it would be worth to collect from the Nechasim Meshubadim. And the Gemara says, whenever we say we divide a shtar, we don't cut a piece of paper in half. That doesn't really make any sense. We're talking about money. We're talking about how to divide the value of the shtar. So that's, and that fits in very nicely with what we just said about the difference between the Taref and the Tofes, is that we're talking, the whole thing is about value. Dilote mahachi, and you have to say that all of our Yachlokus, everything we have at the beginning of Bar Metziah, with Shaymoks and Betalis, and with things being divided, are always about dividing value. It's never about actually cutting something in half, because dilote mahachi shnei mochs and betalis hachanami depalgi. What, two people are holding onto a talis? What are you going to do? You can cut it in half, so each one will have one of those conservative talisim, that the scarf talisim. What's going to be the point of cutting it in half? Have to do it. You're going to destroy it if you cut it in half. It's not going to be a proper beged if you cut it in half. Says mara holo kasha dechazi l'ktan. Kids got to sing on them tamiros, right? So it's not, there's still value if you cut it in half, because at least a child will be able to wear it if you cut it in half. So maybe that's not such a raya, that when we say that yachloku, that we're talking about money and that we're not talking about actually cutting it, maybe we are talking about actually cutting it, and there is value in cutting a talus in half, because half a talus can be used by a child. So says Gemara, v'hada amar Rava im haisa talus mus heves cholkin. So Gemara says, okay, I'll bring you a different raya. What about when Rava says if it was a golden talus, we split it in half? It has golden threads in the talus, so it's a very expensive talus. We split it in half. That's what we were discussing yesterday with the golden talus, that one might have thought that the guy could say, cut it in half, where I get all the gold threads on my side, and the other, like the modern day parallel would be the silver atara on the talus, right? We cut it this way, so I get all the expensive stuff. But anyway, so he says in Haisa Talis Musevis Cholkin, so Achinami de Palgila have Sedua. Clearly, if you cut a golden talis in half, you're going to destroy it. So Tosfos bother. Wait a second. The Gemara couldn't think that maybe we'd give the same answer, that it's Roy Liktanim, that of course Roy for children. So Tosfos says, no, Parach the Talis Musevis Lo Avdi Liktanim. You don't give golden talisim to Ketanim, meaning children, you don't give children a very expensive clothing. That's what Tosfos took for granted. Tosfos never visited the five towns, but you don't give very expensive clothing to children. Children destroy clothing, so it's not a smart idea to give a golden talus to a child. Why would you give a golden talus to a child? So obviously, that being the case, that's why the Gemara doesn't have a havamina that we're going to give the same answer. The Gemara Taka does give the same answer though, or at least very close to the same answer. It says Gemara Holokasha dechazil b'nei melachim. B'nei melachim, princes do wear golden talasim, even when they're very young, because they have to look like royalty. So when they have to look like royalty, so it is when you split a golden talus in half, it doesn't have zero value, meaning you haven't destroyed its value. It certainly has value. The princes have to wear such nice clothing. They wear golden talasim, so it still has value for b'nei melachim. Okay, so again, we still don't have a raya that when we say cholkim, that it means you sell it and split the money. Because it could be that in the case of the talus, and even in the case of the golden talus, when we say that you split it, it means you actually cut it in half. So it says in Gemara Vaditnan, but that which says in the Mishnah, when the Mishnah in tomorrow's daf Yishnayim Rochman al Gabi Behema, if two people are riding on a Behema, and we also talk about the idea that two people are riding on it, that you split it in half. So Hachinami de Palgila, what, you really think you cut the Behema in half? Hafsidua, then you're certainly going to be mafsid the behema. Then the behema is going to be worthless once you cut it in half. It's never going to survive in halves. So says Gemara, now bishla matara chazi lebasar. If you're talking about a kosher animal, so good. So then you understand that it's valuable in half, because the meat of half an animal is very valuable, and that way it could mean that you're splitting it in half, literally in the literal sense, and each one is getting half of the meat. You'd obviously have to shecht it before you split it in half, but the point being that there's value in cutting it in half. El tameya half sedua, but if you're talking about an behemoth tameya that they're both riding on a horse, so what value is there in cutting the horse in half? There's no value whatsoever. So el ladami. So you have to see. You see from there that clearly when we say that we're chulk, and when we say that we're dividing something, it always means we're dividing the value. We're not dividing the actual the actual animal itself. So Hachanami L'dami, so here as well, it means we're dividing the value. Hachanami meaning over here by the shtar, by the case of the shtar, which we began our discussion with, well, we don't cut a piece of paper in half and give each one half a piece of paper. No, we divide the value of the shtar. And and even when we say that this one takes the Torah and that one takes the Tofes, it doesn't mean literally that we cut the shtar and this one takes the Torah because he was grabbing onto the Torah and the other one takes the Tofes because he was grabbing onto the Tofes. It means we figure out the extra value that that one has over the other, right? We figure out the extra value that the Torah has over the Tofes, and we the one who's holding onto the Torah gets that extra value. Period. Amar Rami Bar Chama. So Rami Bar Chama says, now if you contemplate our Mishnah for a little bit, you'll see Zos Ameres. Our Mishnah seems to clearly indicate that a Magbia Metzia LeChaveru Kona Chaveru. That if I want to pick up a Metzia for somebody else, that he is Kona when I pick it up for him on his behalf. I mean, this is part of the concept of Zachon Ladim Shlo B'Fanav. That if I'm allowed to do something for somebody else, and I become I become his shliach, even though he never asked me to be a shliach, because this is a pure zuchus for him. It's something that's clearly, purely beneficial for him, so I'm allowed to go pick up a metziah for him, and through that act of kinyan, I'm kona on his behalf. I'm kona the item for him. And this is true of a metziah. Now, what's the chiddush of saying that it works by a metziah? Meaning, of course, it works. You're always allowed to be zachon ladam shelo b'fanam. So, if you look at Rashi, zos omeres masnisin d'ktani shneim shegbihu metziah kanua v'yachloku, that our Mishnah, which says that when two people are holding the talis, they both found it. It's talking about a case of a metziah that they're going to end up dividing the talis. It must be that the case of our Mishnah is talking about where each one, when he picked up the talis, is picking up al das that the other guy will be kona half also. Meaning he can't pick up the talis al das that he's kona the whole thing, because that won't work, because someone else is holding on to the other half. So you can't be kona something unless you pick it up entirely. Meaning if I want to be kona talis, I have to pick up the entire, with hagba, I need to pick up the entire talis off the ground. I can't pick up half the talis off the ground and let the other half be resting on the ground. I haven't been kona it then. The only way to be kona is if I pick up the entire thing off the ground. Now, if I'm holding on to it together with somebody else, so it's ki'ilu, I'm holding on to my half, and the other half, from my perspective, is on the ground. I'm not holding on to it, it's on the ground. So I haven't been kona anything then. What's the only way I can be kona? Is if I have in mind that I'm being kona my half for him as well, and he has in mind that he's being kona his half for me, and we're being kona for each other, and that way we're able to be kona the whole thing together. That's the only way our Mishnah could work, that they're each going to be kona half of it, otherwise each of them have nothing. And a third guy can come along, grab it out of both of their hands, and he wins. He's the one that's kona, because it's as if it's mulach l'gabe karka, as if it's resting on the ground. So Rashi assumes that Rami Bar Chama assumes that from the fact that our Mishnah says you can divide it, that they should divide it, must be that when each one is kona, he's having in mind to be kona for the other person as well. And Shema Minah Magbiya Metziah. And you see from there that when you pick up a metzia, that you're kona for the other person. And Rashi already clues us in that later on the Gemara is going to ask, where in the world did he get this from our Mishnah? Now, why does Rashi tell us that? Meaning, aren't we comfortable right now? Rashi would only foreshadows what the Gemara is going to ask when he senses that we're uncomfortable with this line of Gemara. So what's uncomfortable about this line of Gemara? What's wrong with this line of Gemara? Well, what's wrong, obviously, is that the case of our Mishnah that we would assume we're talking about, the first case, Shnayim Oksim Batalis, Ze Omer Kula Shali, Ani Metzasiya, right? Each one says, it's all mine. I found it and it's all mine. And Rami Bar Chama is going to say, yeah, he's having in mind to be kona for his friend, for the other guy. He doesn't have in mind to be kona for the other guy. He wants the whole thing. He's not trying to take half of it and be kona for the other person as well. So the whole diuk is very strange. What do you mean? You see from our Mishnah, because since yachloku would only work if I'm being kona for my friend, so it must be that being kona for your friend works by a metziah. What are you talking about? The guy's not trying to be kona for his friend in our Mishnah. He's trying to be kona for himself. So that's why Rashi tells you, be patient. We'll get to that in the Gemara. The Gemara will deal with that. But anyway, let's try to get over that in our minds, even though it doesn't make any sense at this point, and assume that there is some diuk from our Mishnah, that when you pick up a metziah for your friend, that you could be kona for him. Meaning, Again, we still, I still didn't explain why would you think you can't be kona? Why is it any different than any other chov? Because the halacha generally is b'makom shechav la'achrini. So then you can't assume zachon l'adam shlo b'fanav. I can't be zocha on behalf of somebody else and serve as that person's shliach without him having made me a shliach, if it's going to cost a third party money. So by a mitzio, one could argue when I'm picking it up for my friend, anyone else who could pick up that mitzvah or who otherwise would have passed by and picked up that mitzvah is losing. So I would think that we won't say zachon l'adam shelo b'fanav in that case. That who am I to make myself a shliach for my friend to be kona this for him when other people are going to lose out as a result of my being kona? That's what that's the hava mina by the mitzvah, and that's where Rabbi Barakama says no. You still have every right to do it, but certainly to be kona something for somebody, make a kinyan on behalf of somebody. Let's say I'm invited somewhere for Shabbos lunch. And I know I'm not going to get over there. I want to buy a gift for the people that I'm invited to. But I know I'm not going to get over there before Shabbos to drop off the gift. And I don't want to cause the person to make a kinyan on Shabbos. I don't want to be makna something on Shabbos because I know there are issues with making a kinyan on Shabbos. So when I buy the item from the store, I pay the storekeeper. I could have in mind when I'm kona it through my payment to the storekeeper that I'm not being kona it for myself. I'm being kona it on behalf of the person I'm going to, right? And that way, it's zach nadam shalob b'fanav, it's not chav lachrini, it's not costing anyone else anything, there's plenty of that item in the store for whoever wants to buy it. So it's not chav lachrini, and that way, it's very, very clear, everyone would agree, that zach nadam shalob b'fanav. I can make myself a shliach for the person I'm going to be kona that item for him. And that's taka a good eitzah of what we should do if we're not going to have a chance to drop off gifts before Shabbos. Okay, anyway. So he says, you see that from Mishnah. Disal kedai techlo kana chaveiro, because if you're going to hold that the chaver is not kona, when I try to be kona on his behalf from Mitzia, teas zukamisha menachsel gabe karka, zukamisha menachsel gabe karka, each one should have to view the other half of the talus as if it's resting on the ground. V'leichna lo ze v'lo ze, and then neither one of them will be kona it. So you see from there that when I pick up a mitzia for my friend, it must be that he is kona it. That's Rami Bar Chama's Raya. Says Rava, I'm a Rava Liol Memelach, Hamagbiya Mitzia Lechaveru, Lo Kana Chaveru. He says, I don't buy it. I don't like that Raya. Maybe I'll really tell you, normally when you pick up a mitzia for your friend, he is not kona it. But over here, the reason it works is Migo de Zachin Nafshe, Zachin Amil Chavre. Over here, the only reason it works is because I know if I want my kinyan to work, I need to also be kona it for him. So we say, Migo, that I'm being kona it, that I want to be kona it for myself, I'm going to be kona it for my friend as well. That's why Shnayim Shagbiyu Metzia Yer Kona, because I want to be Zochit for myself and be Zochit for my friend as well. And since I want my kinyan to work, so I'm Zochit for my friend, but I can't just be Zochit for my friend. I can't go to a Metzia and pick it up exclusively for my friend. That won't work. Teda shilu am l'shluchot sei v'ganavli v'ganav pater. For instance, just to give a raya to this, if you were to go to a shliach and say, I want you to steal something for me, on my behalf. So Reuven says to Shimon, go steal that item, and when you steal it, I'm going to be caught in it. It's going to be for me, it's on my behalf. Halacha is that that Reuven, who had sent Shimon, is going to be pater from paying the kefel. Why? Because ein shliach l'dvar avera. Right, Shimon is not said to be doing the shlichus of Reuven because Shimon should know better than to do the shlichus of an iser to steal something. V'shutvin shagan v'chayavin. But if partners go and steal something together, they're chayav. But wait a second, if I can't be kona on behalf of the other guy, then how come if I go together with somebody and we both lift something together, we both take a talus out of someone else's property, and we both lift it together, why are we both chayav the kefel? My time alav mishum damrin amigo dezachin afshi zachin amil chavrei. Isn't it because I can be kona for someone else once I introduce myself into the kinyan? Once I also have a stake in the kinyan, that migo dezachin afshi. Since I'm making the kinyan for myself, so the kinyan also works for somebody else. But for the kinyan to work exclusively for somebody else, it would not work. Shema min also. You see, the same would be true over here. Just like by kinyan e geneva, that's true. The same is going to be true when it comes to Mitzia, that Rava would argue that when you pick up a mitzvah lechavero, the friend is not kona, but when you pick it up for yourself and for your chaver, then it will be kona. So in the case of our Mishnah, you're picking it up for the both of you. Now this idea of ein shliach ledvar avero, we've discussed on numerous occasions in the past, just the basic Rashi Prakim, is that the Pashup Pshar in ein shliach ledvar avero, the Gemara Kedushin says, is that divrei Rav, divrei Talmud, divrei Mishamin, right? That who are you going to listen to? You're going to listen to, why would someone listen to the guy who tells you to do the avero when God tells you not to do the avera? So divrei Rav, divrei Talmud, divrei Mishamin. So that's a question Achronim, what exactly that means. The question Rishonim, really, what exactly that means. Does that mean that the Mishaleach has the right to say, I never would have imagined that he was going to listen to me? So he's not my Shliach, because I was joking, obviously. I never would have imagined that, why would he listen to me over God? I never would have thought that he would listen to me. Or do we say that, no, that it's not that I never would have imagined, I thought he might listen to me, but since he shouldn't have listened to me, so therefore he's not my Shliach. Right, so if it's a situation where I'm arguing, if the svara is that I could argue I never would have imagined he would listen to me, well, if the guy is a big avarian and he doesn't really care about what God says and that's just the way he lives his life, then we should say yesh liach ledvar avera. Right, so it's a major sugya. There's obviously a lot more there, but we have to get through today's daf. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter, Amarava hashta da amrit amrinan migo, hashta da amrit da amrinan migo. Once we have this idea of migo de zachin nafshi zachin ami lechavre, then once I'm being kona for myself, it could be kona for the other guy as well. Cherish upikeach shagbiu metzia mitok shakana cherish kana pikeach. When a cherish and a pikeach both pick up a metzia, now on a daraisa level, important to know, a cherish can't be kona. But midrabanan mipnei darkei shalom, we allow the cherish to be kona. Meaning, on a daraisa level, the cherish picks up a metzia, I'm allowed to go over to him and rip it right out of his hands and take it for myself, because he was not kona. He doesn't have the proper das to be able to be kona. But because that would obviously upset the cherish a great deal and would cause a lot of strife and a lot of fighting, so the rabbanan made it takana derabanan that a cherish can be kona. So anyway, so a cherish and a pikeach that pick up a mitzia, so mitoksha kana cherish kana pikeach. So if the cherish can be kona, so the pikeach can be kona as well. Bishlam a cherish kana to come magbele ben das. So I understand why the cherish can be kona, because again, the idea is you can only be kona something that you're lifting together if the other guy has in mind to be kona for you also. So I understand the cherish is going to be kona because he has his half of the kinyan and the ben das is being kona for him. El pikeach be my kona, but how can the regular guy be kona? How could the pikeach be kona? Granted, he's being kona for himself, but the cherish can't be kona for him. The cherish can't be kona on the daraisa level. So ela ema cherish kona pikeach lo kona. So rather, what we must say is the cherish is kona, the pikeach is not kona. Umay migo. So what's the migo then? Migo de shnei chareshim bialma kanu hay nami kani. No, the migo is that since by two cherishim in general you can be kona, so this guy can also be kona. So hay mai imtim salam ram biya metzila chavero kana chavero. If you generally hold that when you pick up a metzia for your friend, it works. Hanimi lehechad to come magbalei adaita de chavrei. That's only if you're picking it up al das your friend. Hay adaita de deka magbalei. Over here, the guy's picking it up for himself, and it's not working for the pikeach. He doesn't get it. So why should his kinyan work on behalf of the cherish if it's not working on behalf of himself? If he can't even be kona for himself? So you can't tell me that the cherish is kona, the pikeach is not kona. How is the cherish being kona if the pikeach isn't being kona? If the pikeach's kinyan doesn't work for himself, how's it supposed to work for the cherish? So what you have to say is neither is kona. Since the pikeach is not kona, the cherish isn't kona either. The chite maishal mishnei chareshin d'alma. So the Gemara says, wait a second. Two chareshin pick it up, they are kona. One pikeach, one cherish picks it up, and no one's kona. So says Gemara, yet that's exactly correct. Chasam takinu l'rabbanan d'losi l'ansuye. Why are chareshim kona when they pick it up together? It's a takana d'rabbanan that they shouldn't fight with each other, right? So in order that they shouldn't fight, so we say that they're kona it. Over here, the cherish will at least have the seichel to say, look, they're not even giving it to the pikeach. Even he's not konit. So I'm not going to be picky. I'm not going to say that I should be konit. I see even the pikeach in this situation is not konit. Why should I be konit? I don't have any. I'm certainly not going to win over the pikeach. Fine, period. Now this goes back to the beginning of the daf. Right at the beginning of the daf, we said that Rami Bar Chama was somehow medayik from a Mishnah that if you pick up a metziah for your friend, you're kona on his behalf. Which line in our Mishnah or in any of the Mishnayos in the first parak did he get this idea from? The Gemara is going to have five possibilities of where he got it from. Ename Mereisha, if you can say he got it from the first case, which is what we automatically assume, Shnei Malchus Metalis, Hasam Haikamar Kulushliva Nagbasa Kula, Vahayamar Kulushliva Nagbasa Kula. How are you going to say that each one's being kona for the other guy when each one is saying, Bepe Male, I want it all for myself. I took it all for myself. You can't say that each one is being koned for the other guy in that case. So that can't be the diuk. Ella Mehaduk Tani Zamar Kulushli Vizamar Kulushli. Rather, it's not from Animat Asiya, it's from the extra phrase that each one says, Kula Shali. Hasulamali. Why do I need that extra phrase that each guy is saying, Kula Shali? And for now, we're going to ignore the fact that the Gemara already dealt with this extra phrase. Right? So, Elami Mishni Yaseira, Shema Minam, Hamagbil Mitzil Chavero, Kana Chavero. From that extra phrase, it must be teaching me halacha that if you pick up a Mitzia for your friend, that the Kenyan works on his behalf. Says the Gemara, but Kimna Reisha B'Metzia V'Seif Mekel Chamemkar. But we already said, we already dealt with that extra phrase, and we said that the reason you have two phrases is to tell me that this halacha that they divide is true both by a Metzia and by Mekel Chamemkar. So don't tell me that this extra phrase is there to teach me this idea of Magbiya Metzia L'Chavero Kana Chavero. Ella possibility number three, Misefa Zomer Kulushali V'Zeh Omer Chetzia Shali. The case where one guy says the whole thing is mine, the other one says half of it is mine. Hasulamali, why do I need that case? Must be from that extra phrase that we derive this halacha, that when you pick up a mitzia for your friend, that he's kona it. But says the Gemara, how do we know that it's talking about a mitzia at all? Maybe that line is talking about mekach memkar. The chitema, unless you'll ask, even mekach memkar, my lememra, you might ask, well, then what's the chiddush if it's talking about mekach memkar? What's the chiddush in that line? Well, istrich. I'll tell you the chiddush as follows. Salka daita chamina haida kamar chetz yashli, lavi kamesha veveda v'liftar. I might think that the guy who says chetz yashli instead of saying kula shali is as if he's a meshava veda on the other half, and therefore he shouldn't even have to take a shavua. They should just divide it, and he shouldn't even have to take a shavua. Therefore, comes to teach me that no, he's going through a harama. He's being deceitful over here. We have to be choshish that he's doing a trick because Safar, he figures to himself, if I go ahead and claim that the entire thing belongs to me, then they're going to make me swear. Say, Ema Hachis, I know what I'll do. I'll just say half of it's mine, Davi Kamesh Raveda, and they'll consider me to be generous, that I'm not making the full claim I could have made, and I'm like a Mesh Raveda, V'Iftra, and then I won't even have to take a Shmua. So that's why it has to come and tell me that even when you say Chetz Yashali, there's a Chiddush, even if it's talking about Mekach Memkar, even if it's talking about a purchase, where I say I purchased half, and you say you purchased the whole thing, there's still a Chiddush, and that Chiddush being that I can, that I'm still going to have to take a Shmua. Basically, bottom line, that line of the Mishnah is not free to teach me this halacha that if you're magbia mitzia lechavero, that kana chavero. Rather, we have to say fourth possibility. Meha, what's the diuk of Rami Bar Chama? It's from the following halacha. Hoishnaim rochman agabi behema. We have two guys riding on a behema. Hasulamali, why do I need to be taught the case of two guys riding on a behema? What's the chiddush in that case? And that's going to be the next Mishnah. El Mishnah Yisrael, Shramina, Hamagbi Mitzila Chavero Kana Chavero. So it's from there that you see Magbi Mitzila Chavero Kana Chavero. Says Mar, no, V'dil Mahaka Mashmalan, De Rochev Namikani. No, maybe the whole chiddush over there is that Rochev, riding on an animal, is a form of Kenyan. I might have thought that Rochev is not a form of Kenyan at all. Elam Bisefa, so rather we say it must be that we get it from a fifth halacha that the Mishnah teaches me. Bizman Shein Modin, Oshiesh Lan Edim, Cholkin Below Shvua. If they're both Modin, that the other guy picked it up at the same time as them, or they have Edim, that they picked it up at the same time, then they divide it without even having to take a Shvua. Bimai, even Mekach Memkar Tzricha LeMeimar, if it's talking about a case of Mekach Memkar where they purchased it, so then it's no Chiddush, of course they would divide without a Shvua. Elalav b'mitzia, must be talking about a case of a mitzia. Ushma mina hamagbiya mitzia lechavero kana chavero. And from there we see each guy must have had in mind to be konen on behalf of his friend also. Otherwise it never would have worked. And don't tell me that how could he have in mind to be konen for his friend? He was claiming the whole thing for himself. Because no, in this case, he wasn't claiming the whole thing for himself. He was acknowledging that his friend picked it up at the same time. So you see from there, Magbir Matzila Chavero, Kana Chavero. That's Rami Bar Chama's diuk. That's the diuk, not from our Mishnah, from the next Mishnah, that when they're both moda, that the other guy picked it up at the same time, that then they're going to divide without a shvua. And you see clearly from there that Magbir Matzila Chavero, Kana Chavero. Varava Amar Lachan, Rav will say, no, That's only when you're also getting a portion of it. But if you're magbia mitzia entirely from your friend, for your friend, then it's not going to work. When I'm also getting a portion of it, migo de zachli nafshei, zachli nami lechavrei. So since I want the kinyan to work for me, I'll make the kinyan work for him as well. But generally speaking, I can't be kona something entirely on the other person's behalf. Just one quick ha'ara before we move on, because we don't really have time to say anything outside in today's daf, but one quick ha'ara, and that is this idea of magbia mitzia l'chavero. Kana chavero is subject of machlokas achronim in terms of under what circumstances, according to Rami Bar Chama, it would work. If I see a mitzia that I know my friend would love, and I want to be konit on his behalf, so Rami Bar Chama says, I can be. How can I be? Does it only work when I pick it up and I say verbally, this kinyan is on behalf of my friend? Or is it good enough to just have in mind that I'm doing it for my friend? So the Ktsos writes in Reish Samach Tes Aleph that you need to say at the time of the Agbah, when you pick it up from the ground, that Hareini Magbia Mitzia Kidei Lizakos Leploni, that I'm doing this in order to be Zocha for my friend. Why do you have to say it? Why do you have to verbalize it? So it says it's a well-known dictum throughout Shas that Dvarim Shebelev Enim Dvarim, that if you're just thinking something, well, that doesn't count. Dvarim Shebelev don't work, and therefore you need to verbalize that you're picking it up for somebody. The Shach and the Nesivus both disagree. They say, no, even if you don't say anything, but your moda later, that's what you had in mind, that's what you wanted. You wanted it to be kona for your friend, even though it's Dvarim Shebelev, it's going to work. Dvarim Shebelev Enim Dvarim. So say the Shach and the Nesivus, Dvarim Shebelev Enim Dvarim is only when the Dvarim Shebelev contradict Dvarim Shebal Peh. It's only when it contradicts things that you actually said. But if it doesn't contradict anything that you said, if the Dvarim Shebelev are all we've got, it doesn't go against actual Dvarim, then the Dvarim Shebelev will be good. So if you say at the time of the Kinyan that you're picking up for yourself, and then you're moda later on, you know what, I really had in mind that whole time that I was picking it up for my friend, then Eino Chinami, your Dvarim Shebelev don't matter. If you said at that time you're picking up for yourself, then you had Dvarim Shebal Peh. So having in mind that you were really picking up for someone else won't help, because Dvarim Shebelev won't go against the Dvarim Shebal Peh. So that's the basic machlokas ktsos and nesivus. You have to actually verbalize at the time of the kinyan that you're picking it up on behalf of your friend. Okay, says the Gemara Vayit, Hoishnayim Rochman, we had mentioned the case of two guys riding on an animal. Amar Rav Yosef, Amli Rav Yehuda, Rav Yehuda said to me, Sham mina de mashmol tarti. We see from, I heard two things from, not Sham mina that we see from here, but rather, I actually heard two different statements from Shmuel as follows. One regarding Rachuv, one regarding Manhig. Rachuv or Manhig. One regarding Rachuv means you're actually on the animal. Manhig means you're leading the animal. You're pulling the animal. So Chad Kani v'Chad Lo Kani. And I've heard that he said about one of them that you're Kona, and that one of them is not a good Kenyan. But V'lo Yadana Hemi Nayu. I have no recollection of which one is which. I don't remember which one he says is a valid form of Kenyan, and which one he says is an invalid form of Kenyan. So says Gemara right off the bat, how could you not know? Hey Chidami, what's the case? If the shaila, the cases in question were either a guy who's only being rochev versus a guy who has an animal and is only being manhig, and you know that one of those is a good kinyan and one of them is not, you really should be able to figure out on your own which one is a good kinyan. Why? Manhig l'chudei mi'ika mandiyam lo kani. Is there anyone that holds that leading an animal, pulling an animal, it does not work as a good kinyan? Everyone holds Mashicha on a Behemah Gasa is a good Kinyan, right? The way to do the Kinyan of Achnasa L'Rishuso, so on a smaller item, a smaller animal, you would do Hagbah, you would pick it up. But you have a larger animal, you do Achnasa L'Rishuso, the Kinyan of Achnasa L'Rishuso, by Mashicha, by pulling it. So Manhig, for sure, if that's the only thing that's being done to this animal, there's no doubt that that's a good Kinyan. How could you not figure out in your own mind that if one of these is a good Kinyan and one is not a good Kinyan, that Manhig is obviously the one that is a good Kinyan? Eliyika lemeimar delokani, rachav udiyika lemeimar. So by process of elimination, if one of them is not Kona, so obviously rachav is the case where you're not Kona, where you're just sitting on the animal, you're not going to be Kona. Ella, so that could not have been the cause of the confusion, right? Ella must be Rachel b'makom manigi ba'ilei. The shaila was, what if you have a guy, two people on the same animal, one of them sitting on it and the other one leading it? So that's the shaila. My, what's the din then? which one has the valid form of kinyan then? Meaning, einachinami, manig alone is for sure a valid form of kinyan. But does the fact that someone is rochev on that behemah as I'm being manig take away from my kinyan? And does it therefore lead me to believe that the one who's rochev at that point, he's the one that's making the kinyan? Do we say rachav adivta tafispa, that the rachav is in a better position because he's grabbing onto it, he's sitting on it? Or do we say that the one who's being manhig, that animal, even as someone's being rochev on it, is in a better position because he's causing the animal to go by pulling it, and therefore it's his normal kinyan mashicha? So I'm Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef said, Amali Rav Yehuda nechzianan. Rav Yehuda tried to be poshut by saying, let's analyze as follows. Titnan, we have a Mishnah when it talks about behemos of klayim, that you take two different kinds of animals and you lead them together, you plow them together. Hamanig sofeg esarbaim. Someone who's manig them together gets malchus. Vayoshe bekaron sofeg esarbaim. And someone who sits in the wagon that the two animals are pulling, that the shor and chamor are pulling yachtav, are pulling together, also gets malchus because they're both violating an isidaraisa. Rameir Potter says Yoshev Bekarim. Rameir says, you know what? If you're just sitting in the wagon, then you're Potter. You're not really doing anything. It's only the guy that's pulling it that's really doing something. Umidapik Shmuel v'tani v'chacham Potrin. Now Shmuel turned around the Shitos. Why would you turn around the Shitos? Because you always want to paskin like the Chachamim. So if you have the way that you paskin seems to be going like the Shita of the Das Yachid, you'd want to switch it around. So from the fact that Shmuel switches around and says, no, that it's the Chachamim potrim Mesa Yoshev Bekaron. It's the Chachamim who say that only the guy pulling it is going to be Chayiv Malkus and not the guy sitting in the wagon. Shmamina Rachav Luchudei Lokani. So you see, we can make a parallel that if the one who's pulling it is going to be Chayiv Malkus in the case of Klayim, that must also be a valid form of kinyan. That's a significant enough act to be chayiv malchus for leading behemoth of klayim in that way, must also be a valid form of kinyan. Whereas a guy just sitting in a wagon is not enough to be chayiv malchus, must be that that's not a valid form of kinyan. V'kol shkein rachav b'makom manig. And certainly when it's a rachav, and the rachav, if a guy rachav alone would not be enough to get malchus, so when the guy's rachav and there's another person being manig, of course it wouldn't be enough to get malchus, and therefore, of course, it wouldn't be a valid form of kinyan. Period. So that's why we see that if you heard that one of them is a valid form of kinyan, the other one is not, when the same animal is having two things happening to it, clearly the manig is the one that's the form of kinyan. Amli Abai Rav Yosef, Abai says Rav Yosef, Azim Sagin, Amla Nefsi Anan, Vlamla Mishred Rav Yehuda. Wait, you've told us that raya on various occasions, and you never said it in the name of Rav Yehuda before. So Amli Ivrei says, okay, well, I heard it in the name of Rav Yehuda. But by the way, once you mention it, though, it is in the name of Rabbi Yehuda. I may not have mentioned it in the past, but it comes to mind the fact that I've asked on this raya. I didn't like this raya because how can you learn rachav from Yoshev? The case of the klayim was a case of a guy sitting in a wagon, not riding on the animal. Yoshev lo tavis b'mosira, rachav tavis b'mosira. The Yoshev is not holding onto the mosira. You know, some part of the Rashi says the kabishtara. I don't know what it is, but something that I guess the whip or whatever, something. What is it?
Bridle.
What is that?
I don't know.
Okay, so. So the kabishtara, right? So the rachav is holding on to the kabishtara. The guy sitting in a wagon is not. Vamli Rav and Shmuel dami tarvayu mosira lokani, and we say that Rav and Shmuel both hold that a mosira is not kona. So that was the shaila. So ikadami amle abayil Rav Yosef. So I'm sorry, that was the response, that holding on to the Mosira shouldn't help. There shouldn't be a chiluk between the Yoshev and the Rochev, because the Mosira doesn't really make any difference anyway. Igad Amri, others had the conversation as follows, that Amalei Abai Rav Yosef, Hechi Poshet Ma Rochev Mi Yoshev, that Abai asked Rav Yosef, how can you be Poshet the Shiloh of Rochev from a case by Kalayim of Yoshev in a wagon? Yoshev lo tavs Mosira, Rochev tavs Mosira. Isn't there a fundamental difference that the Rochev is holding a Mosira, a Yoshev is not? Amalei Hachitani, No, Idi taught us, Masira Lokani, Idi is someone's name. Masira Lokani, that Masira is insignificant. Itmar Nami Yam Rabbi Chelba Amar Rav Huna, Masira Mechavero Kana. When you take the Masira from your friend, you're Kona. You're not kona with the masira. My lasha masira. What is a masira? What does the word mean? Amarava idi asbrali kadam amosir davar lechavero. Idi explains it's the thing that you would give over to your friend. Bishlam mechavero kani. So therefore, when you take it from your friend, taking the masira works. When it's a kinyan from somebody else, to kamasal lechavre, because someone gave it to you. El b'metzia b'nichse ager man kamasal ledelikni. But when it comes to a metzia, Yitzhak Ager, where you're getting it from nowhere, you're getting it from thin air, you're not getting it from your friend, so no one's there to give it to you, that you would be Kona it, and therefore the Mosiru would not be Kona in those two cases. Okay, we'll pick up from Meisvei, Bez Hashem tomorrow. The Gemara goes on with Rayas and Kashas for a little bit.